Chapter 11. The American Broadcasting Network Studios, Burbank, Los Angeles. The Eye of the Storm. T-minus 4 days. Great noise as last-minute adjustments are made to the APS set. Carpenters hammering and electricians soldering. Production managers and heads of department shouting at one another about deadlines, budget overruns, and the like. There is great heat, too, as the massive lighting rigs suspended from the ceiling are given a full run-through, while the heavy cameras glide back and forth silently, panning, zooming at the empty stage. Serene through this chaos comes Stephen Stelfox. He is trailed at a respectful distance by his entourage. Naomi, his personal assistant, Harry, the show's director, and Sherry, the line producer, with Trellick bringing up the rear, talking on his cell phone. With the show now into its third season, what might be called its imperial phase, the protocol when Mr. Stelfox is on the set is well established. Heads dip respectfully as he passes. There is nothing written down, but the basics are known to all. No one is allowed to make eye contact. And God help anyone below the level of head of department who comes up and tries to initiate a conversation. Like the lighting cameraman of last season who made the mistake of falling into step with the chief as he walked the corridor from his dressing room to the studio, taking the opportunity en route to give his opinion on a better way to shoot the judge's reaction to performance shots. It was to be his last creative contribution to APS. He was fired the next day. No one fucks with the chief. There are many benefits to being the creator, mastermind, and single most recognizable face attached to the biggest TV show in America. But one of the most pleasurable is that Stelfox does not have to do anything he does not want to do, which certainly includes conversing with technical staff. No one fucks with the chief. "Is this it?" Stelfox says, clearly puzzled. They are standing on set now, in front of the long desk that the three judges sit behind.
"How do you mean?"
Sherry, the line producer, replies, already, always, nervous.
"I mean, Sherry, how many logos can you see here?"
Sherry surveys the desk carefully. There are the judges' water glasses, now emblazoned with the ice-blue logo of Vibe Cola. There is the top paneling on the front of the desk, which has the wording American Pacific Airlines running all the way across it. There are the laptops that now sit in front of the judges, each opened at a specific angle so as to best position the manufacturer's logo towards the cameras.
Three?
She says finally, looking at him like an uncertain pupil in front of the class, praying she has got the answer right.
"Well done, love," Stelfox says.
"Now, how many official sponsors do we have involved with the show?"
She flips through her clipboard.
14,
Trellick says automatically from somewhere behind her. "Thank you, James," Stelfox says.
"So why am I only looking at three logos in shot?"
"Well," she looks towards Harry, the director, "I don't see where else we could..."
"What about this?"
He points to an area of studio wall behind and to the right of the desk.
"We could stick a fucking car or a hamburger or something here, couldn't we? It wouldn't be in shot all the time, but still. Or how about the backs of the chairs? We swivel about a fair bit, or..."
"You don't think," Harry says, "it might look a bit, tacky?"
Stelfox turns to face the director.
"Tacky?"
he says.
"Well, if we fill every other inch with product placement..."
"Product integration,"
Trellick corrects him.
"Sorry, product integration. I mean, if we overload the frame like that, won't it..."
"Overload the frame?"
Stelfox says.
"Fuck me. Listen, Orson, I don't give a fuck if you can't even see the fucking desk for the amount of shite we're trying to flog. If it brings in one solitary fucking penny more, what's the fucking downside?
Some people might think it's, distasteful, Sherry says, trying to side with the director.
What people?
Stelfox asks, genuinely interested.
Just, you know, the public.
Oh, them, Stelfox sighs, relieved. Naomi, he turns to Naomi, lithe, gorgeous, 23 years old, and devoid of heart or conscience.
Get a list of the sponsors and get Terry in advertising to make a few last-minute calls. See who comes up with the best offer for that wall at least.
Tell you what, Sherry, why don't you email the public a copy of my last bank statement? Let's see how fucking distasteful they find that. The fucking losers. With that, he's off to the next problem.